Hi, it's Haley from the newest Lady Jane's Haircuts for Men in Oak Creek. Come see me today. Haircuts are just $20. Lady Jane's, Oak Creek on Howell Ave, just south of Puth Road. Walk in anytime, 7 days a week, even Sundays. Lady Jane's, it's wicked awesome.
For your sports talk fix every day from 4 to 6, it's Scalzo and Brust. For your sports talk fix every day from 4 to 6, it's Scalzo and Brust. For your sports talk fix every day from 4 to 6, it's Scalzo and Brust. For your sports talk fix every day from 4 to 6, it's Scalzo and Brust.
Live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Studios at the Avenue.
It's a party, baby.
This is Scalzo and Brust.
Woo!
Presented by Michelob Ultra.
It's a party, baby.
On 94.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand.
It's a party, baby.
He is big time Benny Brust. I'm Greg Scalzo. You, the Scalzo and Brust family, calling texting 800-990-3776. Get 800-990-ESPN. I don't know if I can call you big time Benny Brust when you can't fill up a three-person basketball team made up of former teammates and fellow University of Wisconsin basketball alums.
My ace in the hole last year, Keaton Ankeville, stonewalled me.
Didn't respond?
No, he did. He's in Minnesota that weekend. Again, 4th of July weekend.
It's not 4th of July.
It's just on Wisconsin's afternoon news with John McCure and Greg Matzik, and they said, yeah, that's 4th of July weekend if 4th of July is on a Tuesday.
Why, Josh, you put on the poll, is Friday, June 30th part of 4th of July weekend?
Also, I have a question, Ben. Why is everybody else not having as much trouble as you?
Everyone else has failed, all the other teams.
I don't have a great answer to that question. If you're trying to make the common denominator of this me, you're doing a good job framing it.
I mean, if Friday's part of the 4th of July weekend, you have Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, you'd almost consider Wednesday the 5th as a part of that. You're talking about 6 days is the 4th of July weekend.
Yeah.
It's a six-day weekend?
Dude, people head up north. The prime time to head up north in the state of Wisconsin has to be at Friday afternoons. That's when the most traffic is.
Sure.
So on a 4th of July weekend, it's likely going to have even more traffic and people are likely going to have more plans.
My point is,
what are you doing 4th of July weekend?
Me?
Yeah.
I have no idea, which I think is the case for most people. The ones that don't want to have an excuse for you, the idea that they can't leave a half a day later or that night or a day later.
They just don't value giving back in charity like I do.
Josh, do you think if there's a different captain to this team would have been filled?
Yes.
Okay. 800-990-3776. Speaking of leaders of teams and leadership.
Maybe I've gone to the school of Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers, once again, gave us a lot of insight into what's happened and transpired over the last 3 years since the drafting of Jordan Love in the spring of 2020.
You know, I can't get over this because if Josh Gosser was my roommate for 3 years in college and Davante Adams was that to Aaron Rodgers, like, is that what's turning into my former roommate? Like, we just kind of were teammates and roommates for 3 years?
Your roommate was
Duye Dukin for 4 years, and then Josh Gosser for 3 years. We live in a three-bedroom apartment.
I got it. Okay, that makes more sense now. Thank you. Yes.
Did you think we bunked up?
No, it's just, I was like, you don't have roommates for 7 years, did you?
No, it was us three for 3 years, me and Duye freshman year.
I want to get back to Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers spoke with Matt Schneidman of The Athletic, and Schneidy had an interesting conversation with Aaron, and he was reporting on everything that went on behind the scenes since the drafting of Jordan Love, and Aaron Rodgers shared some interesting information and corroborated some interesting information from Schneidman. One of the most interesting things that I discovered, or that was reported, I should say, but one of the things that stuck out the most to me was Jordan Love gets drafted, right, in the offseason of 2020. We're all locked down in the pandemic. We all go crazy on a Zoom call. Rodgers comes out, puts up an MVP season. Mind you, without OTAs. MVP season for Aaron Rodgers. They lose to Tampa Bay in the NFC Championship game at Lambeau Field. Offseason hits.
You forgot, mind you, about OTAs in 2021, too.
Well, I haven't gotten there yet. They just lost. Oh. Offseason hits. And reportedly, David Dunn, the agent for Aaron Rodgers, called Mark Murphy, president of the Packers, and said, hey, it's either Goody or A-Rod. It's either Rodgers or Goody. And the Packers didn't fold. They didn't fall for the bluff. And they said, nope, we're going to keep both of them. And to me, that was a disastrous decision. It was a disastrous decision because when does a forced marriage ever work in that way? When you have two people who actively don't want to work together the way Goody and Aaron did, that actively want to approach winning in a different way. And it doesn't mean one right is right and one's wrong, right? There's multiple ways to get things done. There's multiple philosophies that can get to the final goal. But when you have two people, two of the top five most important people in the entire organization who are diametrically opposed to the point where one of them pulls an ultimatum out, and your decision is to just lay back and not do anything, which is the Packers' MO during the Mark Murphy era, on the field, in football team building, not when it comes to making money. Nobody can argue that Mark Murphy is brilliant at making money using that big green and yellow G. But when it comes to what they put out on the field, the pure laissez-faire attitude that they've had, I think has been really destructive. And I think you saw that in the sense that they were like, all right, we're just going to keep both. Just, they never work. If someone brings you an ultimatum, you can't just be like, oh, we're going to keep both of you. Now, if they said, all right, Aaron, if you want to run the organization, go run a different one. Good.
Kind of what he's doing right now. Everyone's buying into what he's doing with the Jets.
I probably would disagree with the decision in the moment, but I would respect the decision in the sense of this is our franchise. We are running it our way. And if Aaron has a problem with that, Aaron could go play somewhere else. No one player is above the organization. That's the Patriot way. That's Bill Belichick's philosophy. That's how he built his team. But the Packers didn't do that with Aaron. They also didn't listen to him and say, okay, Aaron, you want Goody gone. You want us to go all in. You want us to do these things. We're going to make this your organization in a LeBron sort of way and let you sort of run the show and see if that brings us success because we think you are the most valuable person in the building. And instead, they middled it. Like, they middle everything. And they decided to just let both of them stay there, and it worked out exactly as you would anticipate in that spot.
The most frustrating thing about all of this, and the one thing that, Greg, you were probably the most consistent on in that Zoom draft that I remember all of us were on a Zoom call, ESPN Madison, ESPN Milwaukee, everyone was locked into the draft. When they drafted Jordan Love, the one thing that I remember you standing firm on is not about if Jordan Love was going to be good or bad, is that it seemed like the Packers had what? It seemed like they had a plan. And since they drafted Jordan Love, it's felt as if they haven't had a plan as a front office. Because how do you go from a ultimatum of fire Goody or trade Rodgers to 1 year later from that, Greg, saying, hey, Aaron, we want you to stay here. We want to offer you an extension. That's basically prolonging a broken marriage. It's fascinating to me that you could go from an organization that felt like, hey, we got our guy. We traded up four spots for Jordan Love. There was some value in that pick. There's no getting around that 2020 was an amazing season. But after 2020, Rodgers started giving the hints about molding his future, doing exactly what Brett Favre was doing in a different way, like, I'm going to retire, unretire. He was giving those hints after the 2020 season. So then, obviously, Rodgers was under contract in a way where he came back in 2021 and famously, before that 21 season, gave a speech about the organization, how he wants to treat people, how they should treat people, this, that, and the other thing. But it just really bothers me that they haven't had a backbone. They haven't. I really think both sides. Like, everyone wants to look at this piece and talk about, like, well, the communication, like, and laugh about the FaceTime stuff with Aaron Rodgers. The problem was way before FaceTime. The problem was way before them not communicating. The problem was it getting to the point where they had such bad communication. How do they... I don't know why they offered an extension, and I don't know why Aaron took the extension, because it just prolonged Goody and Rodgers being together even further. And the funny thing is, Mark Murphy has to sign off on all of this. So he signed off on doing nothing and signed off on extending Aaron, despite the fact that David Dunn wanted his guy, Gutekunst, gone.
Yeah, I mean, I would, again, I think if you're the Packers, like, to me, the move would have been get rid of Rodgers then. You want an ultimatum? Goody or me? Trade Rodgers.
They had Love.
You had Love. At that point, it was after his rookie year, so he would have been a second-year guy. You could bring in a ton of assets, and you could control your franchise, and you could say, okay, this is what we want. I think it's a dangerous proposition, specifically in football, in order for you to turn the keys over to one individual player. I understand Rodgers' desire to do it. He had no trust in terms of the people who were making decisions. He didn't want Goody in there. Now, I would wonder who he would want in that position. But to me, they missed an opportunity early on to just say, you know what? We're going to eat it now. Let's go ahead and make this move. Get Rodgers coming off of an MVP season. They didn't know he was going to have another one in 21. And sell him. And move on. And to me, like, I'm an Aaron Rodgers fan. I think it would have been bad for them in the short term. But if you're not going to go all in terms of building around Aaron Rodgers, then you might as well get rid of him.
So like they, wasting
an asset
away.
It seemed like they didn't have a plan the entire time. And I guess that's what I'm interested in. 800-990-ESPN, 800-990-3776. Like, would you have rather kept Rodgers or Goody? Like, if you could go back in time to 2020 in the offseason, would you have rather kept Rodgers or Goody?
I mean, you had made the statement that you would have gotten rid of Rodgers. I would have rather have gone the LeBron way because of how valuable Aaron Rodgers is as an asset at the time. He had just played 48 touchdowns and five interceptions that season. It's unbelievable what he did and how great that offense was. And if you now the hard part about this from the only slight against wanting to give Aaron Rodgers control is his friends that he signs on of Randall Cobb and the guys that he brings in, the guys that he's hanging out with that he wants to take care of, weren't exactly guys that were going to help you win a Super Bowl. So the only thing I question is Aaron Rodgers' team building, but I'd be willing to live with at least going all in with Aaron Rodgers than middling the Goody-Rodgers relationship like they did, because when you look back about 2021 and even 2022, it's very clear that there was too much turmoil between the GM and quarterback, whether they made it seem like it was going well or not, with one picture of them, you know, fist bumping in the middle of training camp when he showed up, you know, and after he spoke, like it was forced, it was fake. And anytime, like you said, if you're not rowing the boat in the same direction as the last guy on the ship and the captain, you're not going to be the fastest team, the fastest boat. And they were never going to win a championship with the way the relationship was between those two.
800-990-ESPN, 800-990-3776. Time for one quick one here. We got Jake in Milwaukee. Jake, welcome to Scouts and Brust, presented by Michelob Ultra. What do you got?
Hey, guys. My question for you is, how much percentage of this would you put on Murphy for, you know, not taking more control earlier in the situation?
Thanks for the call.
Man, I put a lot of percentage on Murphy, right? If your top two people can't work together, right? I mean, like, if you're Mark Murphy, you're the president of the organization, you're looking at it saying LaFleur, Ball, Russ Ball, Brian Gutekunst, and Aaron Rodgers are probably your top four guys that you are worried about in the entire organization.
Mm-hmm.
Two of those guys, in Rodgers and Goody, despise each other to the point where one said, it's me or him. One of those guys, Goody, doesn't respect the head coach to the point where he's like, don't even show up to the combine. You don't matter. it's not a healthy working relationship. And I think they tried this triumvirate of power where everyone reports up to Murphy. But if Murphy's not forcing them to be cohesive and collaborative and work together, then you get what we just got, which is just a fruit salad with fruits that don't mix well together. I mean, it's
just pockets of opinions that were over here and over there that never conversated.
And I think that does all roll up to Murphy. And I think he's culpable for a lot of that blame. And I think he should get a lot of that blame. Now, again, I think he's done some things really well. I don't think that he's managed these last 3 or 4 years on the football side of things well at all. Although he did a great job to get the draft to Green Bay. Mark Tauscher, the Packer Hall of Famer, joins us next. Scalzo and Brust, presented by Michelob Ultra.
You're listening to Scalzo and Brust, presented by Michelob Ultra.
One or zero, you've gone 48 hours without brushing your teeth as an adult.
See, I don't think there's another one in the state of Wisconsin.
Oh, stop.
As an adult?
I mean, everyone's gone through a phase of like giving up. Everyone's gone through a phase of giving up and not brushing their teeth for a couple days.
Scalzo and Brust, available anywhere you get your podcasts with Wisconsin On Demand.
Scalzo and Brust, presented by Michelob Ultra. He is Ben Brust. I'm Greg Scalzo. Josh DiMaggio running the show. Gruber Law Offices, One Call, That's All Studios. At the 3rd Street Market Hall in downtown Milwaukee, we got our guy, Hunter Vaughn, holding it down at the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison Studios downtown off the Capitol Square. And we're joined now by Packer Hall of Famer, the man known as Old T. You hear him every day from 9 to noon across all these stations on Wilde and Tausch. He is our friend Mark Tauscher. What's up, Tauscher?
What's good, fellas?
Do they call you Coach T on the baseball field?
Yeah, some kids call me Coach T.
I like that.
You got a big 5 o'clock tilt tonight out at Buck and Honey's Field. Big battle, 100.5 ESPN Madison, trying to stay undefeated.
What's the line?
I don't know who we're playing, okay. So I can't give you a fair line.
I appreciate the honesty
big
on
tilt,
that one.
Big tilt.
The big story of the day, of course, is Schneide's article on Aaron Rodgers and the Packers and everything that's gone down the last 3 years since the Packers drafted Jordan Love. You guys were joined by Matt Schneidman of The Athletic earlier today. I'm Will Dean-Touch, but I just want to start, like, when you first read it, not even after you talked to him, but when you first read the article, Touch, like, what was the biggest thing that stuck out to you?
You know, so we had heard that there were conversations about getting rid of Brian Gutekunst, but it's just, it's different when it's on paper and it's, hey, this guy said this happened. I thought that was interesting. And then the fact that I talked to who I like to, those are the big things I took away. I don't think there was anything earth-shattering in there as far as, you know, something we didn't know or we hadn't heard. But just the whole compilation and understanding how things kind of escalated from one spot to another, it was interesting to just see how it all had kind of played out again. And the fact that Matt was able to get Aaron on the record to talk about that stuff was really intriguing.
Tauscher, put yourself in Mark Murphy's shoes. If David Dunn called you and said, fire Goody or trade Rodgers, what would you have done?
I mean, I think I would have done what Mark Murphy did. No, I think we're good. I like our general manager. You're under contract, and I don't think you can ever give in as far as what one player wants. You can listen. You can understand why they want what they're looking for. But no, I would not have, I don't think I would have done anything rash either. I think you want to see how things play out and stick with what your belief is. And obviously, Mark Murphy believes in Brian Gutekunst, and he believes in what Goody's vision was, and Aaron Rodgers was under contract. So
you believe that having the quarterback and Aaron Rodgers hate the general manager to the point where he wanted him fired, having them work in the same building is a good thing for the team, and that paid dividends for them?
Well, it ended up paying dividends. You could argue about what, you know, how things played out, but the guy won two MVPs, and you were the one seed both years since that conversation happened. Now, you could sit and say, well, is this tenable?
It was the 2 years, right? I think the conversation happened after 2020.
Correct.
But yeah, he still won an MVP.
Tampa, right? Yep. So another MVP. But yep. I think just kind of looking at it from a big picture, from the night of the draft, because what this really indicated again is that he never got over the draft pick. You drafted Jordan Love, and that was the beginning of the end. That was never going to, you're never going to get that trust back. And you didn't understand, I think, the magnitude of what that meant for Aaron. That was the part that I think we're all looking at and saying, yeah, this is what happened. This was never going to be a great scenario after. You hoped everybody could be professional. And I think, for the most part, you could say that they did. It ran its course. You can only ask so much for so long. And I think they asked 1 year too many. And again, I said this after they traded him, and I still believe this, that, you know, you had the opportunity. You knew that this was not going to get better. And I still come back to, I don't know why they offered him that extension. Other than the fact, and Schneidman said this today, I asked him, you know, why would you do that? And it was because I don't think anybody had the nerve to say, how can I trade the two-time MVP quarterback? How can I make that move? And it turns out they couldn't. And looking back, they should have. Because last year, you know, whether it's injuries or whatever else, it was a culmination of this thing just started going sideways, and it was not ever going to get any better. And if both people, everybody just sat down and said, hey, I know you drafted Jordan. The plan was always after year two, get him out there. Year three, you were going to always play him. And Aaron just needed to acknowledge that and say, all right, trade me. I guess we just all, as Packer fans, wished it would have happened a year earlier, because then you get that bumper haul of picks that you saw Denver and some of these other teams get. But it would have been really difficult for Goody to make that move with what Aaron was able to do two seasons ago.
Doug with Tausch here on Scalzo and Burrast across ESPN Wisconsin. And Tausch, help me understand, because obviously Goody did not have a good relationship with Aaron Rodgers, right? He listening to the great interview you guys did with Matt Schneidman on Wilde and Tausch earlier today, and also from conversations we've had with Jason Wilde, Goody doesn't really care about Matt LaFleur's opinion in terms of how to build this roster, which means him and LaFleur aren't necessarily on the same page and working collaboratively. What about Goody is so valuable to Mark Murphy and to the Packers that he feels like he has this power position where he doesn't need to play as well or as nice with some of the other key stakeholders in that organization?
Well, I mean, I think you made the decision to hire him, and, you know, it's easy to sit here and judge and second guess and all of this stuff, but Brian Gutekunst's done a pretty good job. If you look at where he came, when he came, and the Troy Guyon playing right guard, and, you know, the downfall of Mike McCarthy's last season to where we are now, I think he's done a good job. The draft pick of Jordan Love is going to be his legacy maker. That's going to be whether he's a good GM or if he was just another guy, and that's where this is at. So I think you as an organization can't just give in on everything. You have to have your convictions, and you have to be able to work through things. Not everybody's going to agree on everything. And I think that's where Mark would have been. I think if Mark Murphy had done something big and said, you know what? Yeah, we're going to get rid of Goody and live it there. Would that have really changed what Aaron Rodgers? Would he have liked the next general manager?
Probably, I mean, I personally think they should have gotten rid of Rodgers and stuck with Goody.
When you look back at it, I don't know if we know the answer to that. That's kind of the interesting part of this, because do you want to get rid of that season where you were the one seed and you lost at San Fran in the first round? I want that season. I want as many cracks at this as you can. This isn't easy to get. So that's where I guess I'd push back on you and say, well, you know, they don't do that without Aaron Rodgers.
I totally understand, and I have been a big Aaron Rodgers proponent. I just have a hard time, and maybe you're right. Maybe his performance in terms of team building and where he brought this team to after signing those big four guys, his first offseason, right, and some of the draft picks he's made. Maybe his performance is so great. But at some point, in order for your organization to be successful, you need your most important people to be on the same page. And that's why if you could take a time machine back, like, to me, you have to make that call at some point if you're Murphy and say, all right, are we going with Rodgers' direction or are we going with Goody direction? Because the relationship never got any better. They might have put a little makeup on it, but it never got any better. And I just wonder what's happening with LaFleur and Goody in the sense that, like, don't you want your GM and coach to be on the same page? Don't you want those guys to be collaborating on the players that are being brought in for the coaching staff to develop and to implement in a meaningful way? Or am I overthinking that and it's just, hey, if Goody's really good at his job and LaFleur's really good at his job, these guys don't need to have a great relationship the same way that Goody didn't need one with Rodgers?
No, you need to have, and I think that's showing its ugly head. And I think it's going to be really interesting how this season plays out, because you're dealing with, going to be dealing with a lot of uncertainty and a lot of finger pointing if things don't get off to a good start. Why is Jordan Love not playing well? Is it because Jordan Love's not the guy, or is it because of Matt LaFleur? I mean, you have all of those things that you can look at. So you always want everyone to be on the same page. I think you leading a team or anyone that's in business that's leading a team, you don't want to have a ton of consternation. You want to have a little conflict isn't bad, but you want everybody to be working together towards the common goal. And I don't think, you know, the Jordan Love pick and all this other stuff, I think that the team was working towards the goal. It was just, was it as smooth as it could have been? And I think last offseason it wasn't. And that's where all of that came to head. And that's, I think, a part of why Goody and Mark Murphy and everybody decided that this was the time to actually make a move and trade him.
Yeah, Tausch, I mean, like, I think you had asked earlier, like, why did the Packers even offer the extension? I still want to know, like, why did Aaron accept signing that extension?
Yeah. And, well, because it's $150 million.
I guess money talks. But why you're going to retire a Packer?
Yeah, that's a question that I asked Matt Schneidman when did he get any of those answers from? The answer was no. It didn't seem like he did get a lot of that. So that was the problem.
Tausche, can you do me a favor at some point when we know Rodgers is back in California? I want you to just FaceTime him and just see how real the FaceTime thing is. Like, if you FaceTime him when he's in Malibu, is he answering? Because I love that he doubled down on this.
Yeah, I can try to do that. I don't know when he's going to be back there, but yeah, we can take a look and see if that works and what he ends up saying. That is the biggest, to me, that's the part of the story that's completely moot and dumb and stupid. Who's trying to figure out, well, who's in the right and who's in the wrong? Nobody gives a rip. It comes back to, why did this happen and what was the problem with it? And that's the issue. That is such a meaningless part of the story that I don't even want to waste any breath on that.
Tausche, anything for us?
No, I don't have anything today.
Tausche, how about the PGA Tour champions coming to Madison? I mean, the AmFam champ.
You know, it's the best. Hey. You know that's the best weekend of the year, right?
The best weekend of the summer. And it's like there's sun constantly over those 3 days, and it's not just the three days.
You get out there on Friday afternoon. You enjoy all the Madison. There's so many fun people out in Madison, the businesses. And then Saturday you get the pro and celebrity group. And then you get the championship-type deal on Sunday. It's a magical week.
June 9th through June 11th, Tausche, we'll let you go. Good luck in your game tonight. I'll keep telling the people about the AmFam
Championship. I'll give you the update tomorrow.
All right.
Sounds good.
AmFamChampionship.com. Again, AmFamChampionship.com. That's where you got to get your tickets. June 9th through June 11th. Once again, that's next Friday and Sunday, through Sunday. AmFam Champ Week is also going to include an exciting concert featuring Tyler Hubbard, Florida Georgia Line. That's on Friday night at Bree Stevens Field. Of course, the AmFam Championship played at University Ridge Golf Course. Steve Stricker hosts it. Jerry Kelly's won it. Strick's going to try to be winning it for his first time, even though he's won many events on the Champions Tour. You're going to have Michael Phelps, that's right, the gold medal winner out there on Saturday as part of the Celebrity Foursome. You're going to have Jeter out there as well. You're going to have some of the great golfers over the last 30, 40 years right here in the state of Wisconsin. Pop on by and see him. It all starts by going to AmFamChampionship.com. Again, AmFamChampionship.com to get your tickets today. We'll play some 1-0 next in Scalzo and Brust, presented by Michelob Ultra.
You're listening to Scalzo and Brust, presented by Michelob Ultra.
You know what? I apologize. This Scalzo family's got standards. You could only kill one person.
Yeah.
Second time you're in.
I think that's fair.
I'm leaving.
You wouldn't go to jail for your kid or your wife? You wouldn't take the blame for him?
Hell no.
Scalzo and Brust, available anywhere you get your podcasts with Wisconsin On Demand.
For fitting us in before his big 5 o'clock tilt tonight.
Doesn't even know who they play.
The 100.5 ESPN Madison baseball squad. I love that Tausch got the company to sponsor his kid's softball team. Or his baseball team, excuse me.
At Buck and Honey's Field.
Is it?
Yeah. Did he not say that, Tausche? Or yeah. Joshy?
That's what he said.
Nobody better than Buck and Honey's. Sun Prairie. Wanakee. Monona. And soon
to be Mount Horeb. Remember when I accidentally teased that? Luckily, I didn't say Mount Horeb.
You didn't tease it. You just basically broke the news before it was public and before you were allowed to. Yes. Josh, let's get to some winners here, Russ.
Are you a one or a zero?
Tease implies you didn't give the full thing.
That's the question you have to ask yourself. Oh. Are you a yes or a no?
There's no such thing as a gray area. Life is binary. It's just a one or a zero.
He is Ben Brust. I'm Greg Scalzo. We're your contestants in 1 or 0. Josh DiMaggio is your host. He asks us a question. We say 1 for yes, 0 for no. There is no gray area. Joshy, take it away.
In Matt Schneidman's article about Aaron Rodgers' departure from the Green Bay Packers in The Athletic, Schneidman reported that the Packers weren't satisfied with Rodgers' commitment and effort, not only during voluntary OTAs, but on a day-to-day basis afterward. 1 or 0. Aaron Rodgers wasn't committed in 2022.
I'm going to go with zero. If he wasn't committed, honestly, if he wasn't committed when they had a 0.5% chance of making the playoffs and had a broken thumb that season, just got hit in the ribs, he would have shut it down for at least one game. One game. But he gutted it out. I mean, again, I think it's unfair to say that Aaron Rodgers wasn't committed. I think the whole 2022 season was a disaster from everybody. The fact that it even got to the point where he was the quarterback, they were drafting rookies, Goody was like, this was an extension of
this
why...
This shouldn't even be questioned. This is such a zero, it's ridiculous. The guy missed OTAs 3 straight years. He won 2 freaking MVPs. The next year, he's playing with a bunch of nobodies, just Joes out there, rookies, guys that weren't ready. You got a 4th-round pick out of Nevada and a 2nd-round pick out of North Dakota that caught like 12 balls over the last 2 years. And you put Rodgers out there behind an offensive line that wasn't fully healthy. By week 4, he's got a broken thumb. And then he comes back and plays the rest of the season. He was very committed. Otherwise, they wouldn't have gone on the 4-game winning streak, almost 5-game winning streak, to put themselves in the playoffs at the end of the year. And then he took a rib shot that most mortals would have been out for the rest of the season on. And the guy is out there sacrificing his body. Like, I don't think, I know you guys think I'm kidding, and I know I'm going to take it a little bit further in terms of exaggeration. Like, the Packers would have happily sat him. That's very obvious. That's a difficult sport to get thrown around in. Like, there's some brutality to tackle football. And he was out there week in and week out, knowing that he wasn't on a very good team, knowing the team wasn't going to win Super Bowl. Tell me what's more commitment than that.
Who would know more about the brutality of football than our very own left guard in Pop Warner football that pulled and tackled guys, you know, to open up holes for the run game?
Boom. Nailed it. I like the fact that it was an almost 5-game winning streak. The 4-game, almost 5-game.
That's how Schneider wrote in the article, too.
You never hear about those.
No. An almost 5-game win streak to end the season.
Schneidman also quoted Aaron Rodgers when talking about the communication this offseason, saying, like, come on, man. Just tell the truth. You wanted to move on. You didn't like the fact that we didn't communicate all the time. Like, listen, I talk to people that I like. Winner zero. You only talk to people you like.
Zero.
I mean, I think like you're forced in life to have conversations with people you don't like, and that's okay.
I don't know if I would leave the house if I couldn't talk to people, if I didn't talk to people that I didn't like.
Whoa, we're right here. That's a direct shot at us, Josh.
Yeah, it's a direct shot at me.
You hate everybody?
I'm just saying, like, the idea that you can only talk to people that you like is wild. And that's such a protected, I'm a high-paid athlete, privileged thing to say, to be like, yeah, if I don't like you, and you know what? He's talented enough at throwing a football that he doesn't need to talk to people that he doesn't like. And it all works out for him.
So, is that a real life that people can live?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Wow.
It is interesting thinking back to Aaron Rodgers talking about how you should listen to people with different perspectives than yours. It's kind of ironic.
I think he likes people with different perspectives than him, though. That's the thing, is that he likes people who challenge him. He likes those intellectual conversations. Zero. I mean, the bigger thing to me is Goody that bad? Like, I'm so fascinated by Goody now. I want to know everything there is to know about Brian Gutekunst. And the fact that, like, he doesn't care about his coach. Those guys don't have a relationship. The quarterback despised him. And it's not like Goody wasn't a part of the organization. You hear those guys who were playing in the late 90s and in the 2000s. Talk about Goody like being out with the players because he was that age, right? Like he was part of the organization, and it's not a big town and it's not a big organization. These guys know Goody. They know pre-GM Goody. Goody knows them. The fact that him and the quarterback don't like didn't just have a bad relationship, but they hated each other. Like, what's the deal with Brian Gutekunst right now?
He wasn't a part of the organization when they drafted Rodgers, right? He came after Aaron was drafted.
I'm pretty sure he predates.
I think he was before Rodgers.
Then
he was like a scout.
He was a scout. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he was sitting in a room watching tape. But again, still like.
I am interested, like, is there an issue here where Brian Gutekunst walks around like he's like Ron Wolf and Ted Thompson, even though no one else thinks he has this much power as him? Because, like, he doesn't listen to Goody, he doesn't listen to his quarterback.
You mean doesn't listen to LaFleur?
LaFleur, sorry, yes.
He joined the Packers in 1998.
So
he's there for a decade.
I mean, yeah, like so,
longer.
So my point is it's not like, oh, new guy comes in, Rodgers, new guy, don't like each other. Like, Goody has been there.
Who did he?
He worked under Ted Thompson, who Rodgers talks glowingly about.
Is it the Jay Sternberger pick?
Russ Ball a little bit of love in this article that Matt Schneidman wrote on The Athletic, talking about Russ Ball and the personal growth he experienced after Rodgers was communicating directly with that.
Do you think it has something to do with astrology? Do their signs not mix well? Josh, you took the astrology class.
I did. He did not divulge what Goody's sign is and how that interacts with his. I'm going to move on.
And
here.
It's not just Rodgers; it's LaFleur too. We're gonna dig in. I'm gonna do a full on feature on Brian Gutekunst.
According to Shams, Giannis was vehemently against any other head coaching candidate besides Adrian Griffin, and that after meeting with both Nurse and Atkinson, Giannis made it clear he did not want them hired. One or zero, you trust Giannis in his head coaching decisions?
Zero. I guess you're forced to, because I don't think that Giannis ultimately pulled the trigger on Bud.
Are you out on Giannis?
I'm very out right now after the perspective quote that he had after the 1 seed, 8 seed loss. Like, what a missed opportunity, and what an opportunity to say we didn't do a good enough job as a team when everything was put in front of us to win a championship this year, but instead it's building towards success. I think that's the biggest load of crap that it's ever been said. It was like, oh, look at how great this is. Look at the perspective he has. Like I said, I don't need your perspective. This is a business. This is about winning, and you didn't win.
Yeah, I'm a one here. I trust Giannis. I don't agree with Ben's sentiment. I agree what he said was kind of goofy. I just think that, like, Giannis is a special guy. To do what he's done throughout his life, yes, he was blessed with genetics that are absolutely insane. But from where he came from, how he had to learn basketball, like how he had to adapt, how he's kind of grown everything, I do think he understands how to build a team. And I do think that you have to trust your best player in deciding what do we need in a coach, the guy that's in the locker room every day. What do we need in a coach in order to get there? Do I think the season was a failure? Yes, I do. Do I actually think he's probably has a healthier perspective than all of us in terms of what he said, if he actually believes it?
Well, he 100% yes, has a healthier perspective than me.
But I agree with what you say on that. I just think, like, I trust him. I trust him in a way I probably wouldn't trust in Aaron Rodgers. I trust him in a way that I would trust very few superstars, but I would trust Tom Brady in that way. I would trust Tim Duncan in that way. I would trust guys who seem to understand.
Well, you mentioned a lot of guys who won multiple championships, though.
Yeah, and Giannis is 28 years old with one under his belt.
Yeah. A lot of missed opportunities. Eastern Conference Finals. Last year, just saying, there were missed opportunities.
It's fine. Like, you can be out on him, and his report card is his report card. I'm answering the question of, do I trust him? And I trust him like I would trust very few in that spot to be a guy that can judge what they need in terms of building a team in Milwaukee.
I think that's a fair assessment. You're using much more outside logic. I'm looking at it from a pure basketball perspective.
Brian Gutekunst played football at UW lacrosse. an assistant coach for his final 2 years at the school after a shoulder injury cut short his playing career. nobody has a shoulder injury, right? Like that was like a.
I mean, what is that? D?
That's like me. Like my football career got cut short on a wrist injury after my Pop Warner career.
That reminds me of why I got cut by the Bucks as the last cut before training camp.
Exactly. But there has to be people out there that can give us more insight into Brian Gutekunst. Like there has to be someone in the Skalzo and Russ family that knew him at UW lacrosse or has known him in and around Green Bay the last 30 years, right? Has to be. 800-990-ESPN, 800-990-3770.
You don't go to lacrosse unless you enjoyed, you know, some McUltras, am I right?
You are right about that. No, absolutely. They drink a lot of McUltras up there. In lacrosse, I do got to give a shout out to Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. PellaWI.com/radio. PellaWI.com/radio. What? You tried to set me up there.
No, I was just making it funny.
Oh, it felt like you were trying to...
No, I wasn't trying to lob you there. My bad.
I love when even I can't suss out the what's supposed to be a joke.
He's lying about something or joking about something, and I don't know.
No, I just made a really awkward joke, and it was ill-timed.
But was it supposed to be funny? Because it just
wasn't.
Sounded
like... That's what I'm saying.
It sounded like you wanted me to tell the people... It sounded like you wanted me to tell the people about Michelob Ultra.
And I wasn't intending to do that.
Great time.
Really?
Yeah, I swear to God. That's what I'm saying. If I could take it back, that's when I would.
UW lacrosse, just immediately your first thought is Mick Ultra.
Party school.
Okay.
Get some party stories about Goot. That's kind of where my head was.
No. I'm not looking for dirt on Goot. Like I'll make that clear. I'm looking just to figure out like what he's about in the sense where like maybe he's just a football savant. And if you know football the way Ben is a hooper, you look at it and say, no, he's such a talented evaluator. He's such a talented team builder that he doesn't need to have relationships with the people closest that he needs, like his head coach and his star quarterback. I got to know more about this guy. Somebody I don't need to know more about because I know everything I need to know is Gina Della from Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin because my guy Joe Franco came out to the house on Friday. It was absolutely amazing. He spent like an hour and a half in my place, and it was such a pleasant experience. I thought it was like 20 minutes. I looked down at the watch. I'm like, what? Because he was great. He was consultative. He took a look at all my windows. He's getting quotes for me. He's helping me solve the issues I have at my home. They could do the same for you so you could say goodbye to a drafty house with stunning new windows and doors. And if you order today, you can get 0% interest for 48 months. That's 4 years, 0% interest. Check it out, PellaWI.com/radio, PellaWI.com/radio, or check out the beautiful showroom in Brookfield or on the Beltline in Madison. He like broke out the whole roll screen window, you know what I'm talking about, where like you can see directly through the glass. There's no screen there.
I've heard about it from levering.
And then when you lift it up, boom, the screen is right there and it's got give. So even if the kid is like poking at it, like there's give on it. Beautiful window, only available at PellaWI.com/radio.
She's a menace. It needs give.
Oh, my kid is a
yes.
Menace. You sounded like you were calling. Did you think the same thing, Josh?
No, I knew it was your kid, and I thought you were reacting.
I thought he was upset.
Dude, you better not call my kid a menace.
No, she's a total menace.
That's what I was saying.
And I love it. I would have it no other way. I thought you were calling Gina Della a menace, and the only menace that she is in terms of these screaming deals that you can get at PellaWI.com/radio. Benny was a menace when he was doing the Chris Collinsworth slide earlier today, getting ready for his afternoon hit on Wisconsin's afternoon news on 620 WTMJ. We'll tell you about it next. It's Scalzo and Brust, presented by Michelob Ultra.
You're listening to Scalzo and Brust, presented by Michelob Ultra.
Not right, as cool as the parade minutes that I should have for winning CGL.
It's CGL. What does it stand for?
Closed Gyms League. You guys are... I'm going to swear on this show.
Scalzo and Brust.
Josh, you're lucky. You're lucky this is a remote.
Scalzo and Brust. Available anywhere you get your podcasts with Wisconsin On Demand.
I don't need the pills you take. Just feel the spirit moving. Brother, I ain't slept in days. All without the drugs you use. Help me for the builders you use me for. As it was and always will, as it is, I'm here to witness old time screaming and shouting.
Scalzo and Brust, presented by Michelob Ultra, 800-990-ESPN, 800-990-3776. Matt Schneidman of The Athletic. Wrote an article about the end of Aaron Rodgers' career with the Packers, the last 3 years since the drafting of Jordan Love and everything that transpired to basically evolve to a place where Rodgers was playing for the New York Jets. Not only playing for the New York Jets, but feeling like he was more connected to the decision makers there and more influential and impactful to that organization than he ever was with the Green Bay Packers. It got us to a place, or at least me to a place, where I was curious about Brian Gutekunst and his relationships within the organization, because there was a part of that article that read as Aaron Rodgers' agent David Dunn calling Mark Murphy to give Murphy an ultimatum of either fire Goody or trade Rodgers. This was after the 2020 MVP season for Rodgers, after they lost to the Buccaneers at Lambeau Field in the NFC Championship game. And that, combined with what we've learned from Jason Wilde and Matt Schneidman, that Goody also doesn't have a good relationship with Matt LaFleur, in the sense that he just like doesn't really value LaFleur's opinion and they don't collaborate as two people who are working in the same direction, has me wondering, like, what is Goody? And how are you that successful as a general manager without having relationships with two top key stakeholders in the organization? Austin and Whitefish Bay chimed in and said, Brian Gutekunst makes me ashamed to be a UW lacrosse graduate. Stephen Pewaukee asked the question, Rodgers likes Ted, who drafted Rodgers. Rodgers doesn't like Goody, who drafted Love, Rodgers' replacement. How can this not be on Rodgers? And I'm not saying that that relationship isn't on Rodgers, right? I accept that. If I'm Rodgers, I wouldn't like Goody. But there is also an element that Rodgers and Goody worked together for the same organization, presumably of the same age, since Rodgers entered the organization in 2005 for 13 years when Gutekunst was rising through the ranks in the front office under Ted Thompson. So they had a previous relationship before he took over as GM, before he drafted Jordan Love. But I also push this and say, it doesn't seem like he's got a great relationship with the head coach in Matt LaFleur. So if you don't have a great relationship with your star quarterback, but you were on the same page as your coach, I get it. If you're on the same page as your coach or on the same page as your quarterback, but maybe not a huge fan of the coach, I understand that as well. When it's both, I start to look at Goody as the common denominator and say, okay, what is going on here?
I think that Mark Murphy needs to like get to 2025 as soon as possible. Not from a standpoint of, like, he's at a point right now where, yes, congratulations, Mark Murphy, like, you're doing great things for the state of Wisconsin and getting the draft here, but clearly, like, Brian Gutekunst is, like, acting as, like, a president of football operations more than a GM. You know, like, he's not in that GM-coach dynamic relationship that you'd want from any organization. It just seems as if Goot is doing whatever he wants, whatever he thinks is best. He's going to draft the players that he wants from a standpoint of like what fits his scouting premise, but may not fit within what Matt LaFleur needs for his offense. It seems like there's a disconnect there where, again, like, shouldn't those two be in sync in terms of the players that they want in? It's always funny to me when the Patriots have a draft pick, they don't show the GM. You know who they show? They show the coach. They show Bill Belichick. For the Packers, it's always been like it was Brian Gutekunst, and Matt LaFleur is always like, oh yeah, he was kind of involved. It's not like he's a mainstay in the decision making process at all.
800-990 ESPN 800-990-3776. Iron Mike in Little Green Lake. Welcome to Scalzo and Ross, presented by Michelob Ultra. What do you got?
Hey guys, I remember Goody as a bartender at UW Lacrosse. It was Cedar Creek Country Club. I was a member there. Guy was the worst bartender I've ever seen in my life. I've been in food and beverage 35 years. He couldn't even put ice in the glass. And I remember Kyle Brandt, when they moved up to get Jordan Love, said it was the worst draft pick ever. And I agreed. And I think it pissed it. Aaron Rodgers was disappointed and got back-to-back MVPs, so you couldn't get rid of him. You couldn't move on at that point.
Yeah, I think you're right there, actually, Iron Mike.
Yeah, I want more on the bartending.
Yeah, I think he's still on. Do we still have Iron Mike here? Iron Mike, so when he's the worst bartender you've ever seen, it was just his inability to make a good drink, or was it the pace or
the conversation?
He couldn't concept between the customer and making it, and he had to think twice of what he was doing. He just looked awkward.
All right.
Thank you for the description of probably a guy who sits in a room for 25 years watching NFL game films.
Well, this is before he did that, but I guess what you're saying is it would lead to that. Yeah. 800-990-ESPN, 800-990-3776. John and West Bend. John, welcome to Scalzo and Ross, presented by Michelob Ultra. What do you got?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah!
I don't think we're here if Rodgers, thin-skinned as he is, doesn't get his undies in a bundle just because somebody at the same position was picked.
Yeah, I mean, you're probably right. Like, Rodgers did get his undies in a bundle. He won two MVPs after that.
How would you feel, John?
Well, I guess it's more on them and not saying, here, we want him to grow behind you for the next 3 or 4 years. So you could have done that and said, we want you to teach him, because you can't go without players. The Packers, and historically, always, you know, replenish the well. When Favre was there, they had like three guys that started for other teams.
I think the tough part of that conversation. I think the tough part of that conversation, John, is that Rodgers wasn't trying to develop the next quarterback during the last sort of renaissance of his career. He was trying to win another Super Bowl. And when they spent a first round draft pick on a quarterback a year after they were in the NFC Championship game, I think that all of a sudden sent the message to him that they were already thinking beyond Aaron Rodgers and not for Aaron Rodgers. And yeah, I think he did get his undies upon him. Thank you for the call,
thank
John.
Thank you for the call.
Like, I don't blame him. And I think the reaction to all of that, the positive and the negative, kind of set the stage for these next few years.
I'm not going to lie. If they let Aaron Rodgers know they were drafting his replacement, we probably see the same kind of results. I don't think much changes. I think he's still going to be upset and hold the visceral towards the front office for talking to him about moving on from him.
Tom in Milwaukee and Stephen Pewaukee and a few others want me to tell you that Bill Belichick is the GM of the Patriots. I wasn't going to do it.
Do it.
I bit my tongue. I mean, Belichick's the GM.
Yeah.
But after I keep getting text messages, especially Tom in Milwaukee, just said, are you going to tell him Belichick's the GM?
Hunter also said, should we tell him?
Yeah.
I thought he just did a poor way of describing it.
I did too. And I was like, it's not worth stopping the show over. But a lot of people disagree. Back in 2 minutes, it's Scalzo and Bros presented by Michelob Ultra.